ready.
Yeah, but you didn't say you're rolling. That's why.
I'm rolling.
No, keep, I know that now.
Rolling.
Why do they still call it rolling if nothing's rolling? It's all solid state.
It's a very good question. Why do we park in the driveway and drive in the parkway?
Why do we pretend like it's 1979 and we've never heard that joke?
No, I think it was at least 85.
Yeah, fair enough. And that wasn't even a good burn. That's a terrible burn. I could have done way better than that.
Okay, let's try it again.
The jerk store called.
They're out of you.
Hello and welcome to episode 332 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is
Adam in Vancouver.
I had to look at the number, Adam. I forgot.
You forgot that I was in Vancouver?
That it was, we're the Two Hosers, is what I'm saying.
Okay. No, you forgot it was 332?
I did, yeah.
Oh, well, is that meaningful?
No.
Okay.
That I forgot? Maybe. Maybe I should get that checked.
Okay.
Anyways, you didn't even know what episode this was.
No, I had no idea.
Awesome. What's going on, Adam?
My wife just turned off the bathroom fan, so now it feels like a real studio in here.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I just call it my sleep machine.
Yeah, she's ready for sleep, so good time to tune into this podcast.
Blammo.
Or at least this end of the podcast.
Yeah.
She's just one-sided listening.
Yeah, so she hears a lot of, uh-huh, uh-huh, what?
She's like, hey, are you, because we're doing this at a different time,
yeah.
At the end of my work day, and I'm tired. She says, well, you should just let Al do most of the talking. And then I said, well, then it's like every other episode we've ever recorded.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, zing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's a zing or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Good one, though. Good one, Lise.
Yeah, I'm on my A game today.
Yeah, me too. It's the end of your work day and an hour before mine starts, so it's good times. We nailed this schedule, but you were gonna golf and now you're not.
Yeah, so this is all for nothing.
Yeah.
So this could have been done at a better hour for both of us.
But you get to sleep in tomorrow and not golf.
And not podcast.
Well, that's, yeah, we might do it. We might do a show anyway, just for fun, not record it.
Rehearsal.
Yeah, just do a live one to nobody. Yeah, you said it was raining hard, and I like golf myself.
Yeah.
When it's nice and sunny.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of beers in the cart.
Sure.
When it's raining and you're drinking coffee out of a thermos to just get through it, don't go.
Yeah, that's my motto.
Yeah, okay. A little golf tip for the folks out there. Yeah. If you do, though, you need a rain jacket or something like that, I would pick mine up on Amazon.
Yeah, or an umbrella.
Yes.
Golf or photography, actually.
What would you do with a golf umbrella? I've never seen the point.
No, I've never seen it either. I guess you have enough room for your friends underneath.
Right.
They're humongous.
The did you buy anything on the Amazon?
Have I?
The answer is no then.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack shops for Pokemon cards on there, so does that count?
No.
Or that might be eBay. Yeah, I don't know.
What's better with the Amazon experience is actually, you know, purchasing something or having the guy come up to your house with it.
I think it's the fact that it can come so quickly.
I like the fact that when the guy rolls up with it, I like to open it in front of him and just, hey, look what I got. Huh? Headphone cable.
Yes.
Do you have a headphone cable? No. Amazon.
Did you really get a headphone cable?
No, it's actually a different cable. But that was the one I talked about last week. So far this week, no Amazon activity for me.
Okay, because I was been thinking that, you know how those Bluetooth headphones that we got, whatever, those M-Pow headphones?
Mm-hmm.
One small drawback for me is that I like to go to the gym, and then I like to use my headphones with the cardio equipment that has, like, the TV on it.
Uh-huh.
And you can't get that. You can get from your iPod or whatever, your Bluetooth device to your headphones, but they make apparently like a little adapter that has a headphone jack on it that will transmit to the headphones. So I mm-hmm. think I might need to get that.
You sound like you're getting far too fancy.
Well, I want the headphones to be able to do that. So I end up taking a different pair of headphones to the gym simply because I want to be able to watch TV while I do my cardio. I need to distract myself to do cardio.
But you can't listen to other podcasts?
I guess I could, yeah. That's I do I that when to. I'm when I'm lifting the weights, just not when I'm watching the TV.
Oh, right. Yeah, you don't want to be distracted on the treadmill.
Yeah.
Here's something funny, and bam, down you go. What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true. Mark Maron had a funny one.
Yeah.
That's what happened, everybody.
No, I don't want that.
Yeah. Good to avoid. All right. Yeah, I bought nothing. So there you go. If you're keeping score at home, yeah, I got nothing this week.
0-0.
But what we're saying is if you are shopping on Amazon, please click through our site and help us out. And people have been doing it, and we much appreciate it. And we even appreciate when you send us tweets or emails and let us know what you bought. It means a lot to us, so thanks a lot. And if you're not doing it, what's your problem? All right. Baseball update. How'd the kid do?
Who?
Your son.
Oh, he did well.
Yeah.
He played up with the older kids and did well. And he played with his own team, doubleheader.
So when he played up, does that mean with pitching?
No, it's a 2-year range where they use the pitching machine. So it's basically exactly the same, just with older people.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Yeah, he says that they dial the pitching machine up a little faster, but technically, I don't think it's supposed to be any faster. I think it's supposed to be the same.
Right.
But he did well, and he likes playing with them because they're paying attention more.
Right. Are those shirts tucked in?
The majority of them were tucked in. Yeah.
There you go. That's the big thing. Yeah. That's the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah, and he got another call in for it, but. We'll see. We'll see what happens with the weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If he can play twice as many games, though, that's good times.
Yeah.
Righteous bucks.
Yeah. It's also, 4 hours of a Saturday watching paint dry.
For that, yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, good. We won again. So that was what we talked last time. Yeah, before we played, I think.
Okay.
So we swept again. So we're 4-0 on the season.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's good.
Because they're a big deal.
Well, we'll see tomorrow. We have a big road game tomorrow. Get the team bus. And playing probably two other teams that could be our challengers in the league. And tomorrow's one of them.
Okay.
So we'll face a little bit of a buzzsaw tomorrow, I think. So we'll see. Hey, maybe next time we talk we're 6-0.
Maybe.
We'll find out. All right. And the last update, speaking of watching grass grow, my grass is growing.
Hooray.
We talked last week and I said, the grass isn't growing. It actually was right while we were recording. Came out and it was like bamboo, which is weird. I didn't plant bamboo, but it's growing that fast is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I don't have any questions about that.
I'm just saying, if you want to come golfing, we can go putt around in the front yard.
Great.
Yeah, dialed in now. Got some grass.
Okay.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Hey, good for you.
We had a little, well, it wasn't little. It was quite a big little festival in Gary Point last weekend.
The ships, right?
The tall ships were in town, but what they did differently was they kind of created a festival all around it. So they brought in like amusement park rides that they kind of spread out amongst sort of the flat area of Gary Point.
Like where you would ice skate.
Would skate, yeah. So yeah. That was all filled with like amusement park rides. And then they had like a huge concert stage just up from there. And they had food trucks sort of bridging the gap all in between where the fair would be and where the concert stage. And they had, you know, bands playing and different acts.
Metallica?
And no, but it was, I'd say it was a sort of a band that was playing music similar to what would be, I guess, Great Big Sea is the sound that I thought it mm-hmm. sort of most resembled, but I didn't recognize them as actual Great Big Sea songs. So kind of Canadiana music, but there was, at one point, like they did fireworks. So I'd say maybe about a half an hour before the fireworks and they had the band playing on the big stage, there's probably a couple thousand people, like a real legit concert all filled in, like a huge area out there, which just looked awesome. And then it led into the fireworks and they had performers, like they had a fire juggler that was really, really good, actually just kind of performing in one area. It was a big to do.
Nice. And the weather held.
And the weather was amazing. So the little fair thing ran between Friday and Sunday, and it was beautiful all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. So they couldn't have asked for a better sort of stretch of weather. We haven't seen anything like that, before or certainly since. So they walked into the perfect weather situation for something like that. And so I basically took the camera down. The kids wanted to do the rides, and you could kind of buy a wristband, and they could go on the rides for all day for as long as they wanted, whatever they wanted. So we got them wristbands and we went there for a couple hours and they basically did the rides and I took pictures. So that was the excitement. But I took them at different times of the day. Like we took some pictures and then we left and went for dinner in Steveston. And then we came back and I took a few more closer to magic hour. So I haven't really, to be honest, gone through them or looked at them yet. Because I've been busy since then, but I imagine there's some good expressions. And, you know, they have like a ride that's like the Scrambler, you know, the Scrambler at mm-hmm. the P&E. They had a ride like that. They called it something else, the Sizzler or something. But
though, copyright.
That, yeah, that ride always gets some fantastic expressions and the kids smiling and laughing. And so, again, I took some photos at different times. So I'll post some of those via the Instagram by the time this airs. How about that?
And shots of the tall ships as well.
Did not take one picture of a tall ship. Not interested.
It's the tall ship festival.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
I was not the tall ships that, geez, it must have been 20 years ago. If you can believe it, that's probably been over 20 years ago. Then it's the first time, 20 years since they had the tall ship, the first one.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it would have been, I think it was in film school. Anyway, it's about 20 years ago they had that in Richmond. It's like, holy smokes, it's the tall ship festival. Like the tall ships are coming, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What are tall ships? Everybody else said. And it's like, you know, like a replica of the Golden Hind or something like that, or the Pinta, the Santa Maria, and the Lusitania, whatever that third boat was.
Sure.
And they're actually pretty cool, but for me it was like, all right, well, I don't get what this is about. You know, I get it. It's cool to see them, but I remember my mom was really into it. Like, just thought this was the greatest. Like, and she bought the paraphernalia, she bought nice. The merch.
Sweet.
So I at one point, like, this was my mom. Like, my mom handed me a very nice, well, nicely embroidered T-shirt with like a tall ship festival logo embroidered on it. Like, here, I got you a T-shirt because you couldn't make it. So I didn't, you know, I got you one. Wonderful.
The funny thing is I was standing and looking at it, going, that's kind of neat. Did not even waste one frame of a digital photo on it. I don't know why. I just looked at it and I was like, whatever. Yeah. And then back to taking a thousand pictures of my kids just, you know, going around and around on the, on whatever I said it was called, the Sizzler.
The Sizzler. Yeah. They had the all you can eat shrimp as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
Good times. Well, it sounds like a good time to shoot anyways. Good
sure it was. Yeah. Yeah.
For us, it was baseball team photo week this week.
Okay.
So I had to go shoot a a photo of our team, which I posted. You can have a look at it. Bit of a challenge this week, this time, because we had nice gray skies all week, and then right on picture day, the only time we can get everybody together, bam, just blazing sun. Like, just ugly sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those things, well, hey, maybe find some open shade, but you can't with a, you know, you got however many guys are here, 18 guys or whatever is in this photo, can't do it. So, and add to the fact that our baseball park is not the nicest looking field in the league. Like, just aesthetically, it's just, you know, eh. So this is pretty much the only direction you can point and get a decent background. Like, with, you know, the fence in the background, the trees and stuff like that. Everything else is just, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I you know, position everybody on a shortstop. I want to use the red dirt sort of as a part of the image, and that's it. But that means the sun sort of comes across the faces like this.
Right.
So it's not egregious in that, like, it's right in their face or right behind them. So it's kind of a side light we can get away with. And so I knew this going in, brought three strobes and are just firing three strobes, three bare flashes directly on stands, directly into everyone's face, just to try to bring up the shadow somewhat,
mm-hmm.
that we get an image. And it actually works out. I mean, it was so contrasty that you know, without it, you would just see such dark shadows on everyone's faces, but the flashes work. But unfortunately, you know, they have to be bare just to mm-hmm. get any power. So I think I got them at half power, just out of frame. And it gets the job done. But you can see a couple of shadows, like on the left-hand side, the guy standing next to me, you know, you can see a couple of the arm shadow on his pants, but oh well.
Mm-hmm.
But where the real challenge came is that the kid on the top left, you see the kid standing there?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little 3 men and a baby situation. He showed up, for whatever reason, without his uniform top. He had the polo shirt that we wear.
Okay.
And he said, oh, I thought we were taking the picture with the polo shirt. No. Polo shirt and baseball pants doesn't look too good. And so he was, oh no, he just didn't even bring his jersey to picture day.
Okay.
That's weird. So he was all bummed, he wasn't going to be in the picture, and I said, all right, well, you know, I'll do what I can. And so I had, you know, he sat off to the side, and then so I snapped a photo with everybody in it, and then I originally asked the two guys in the center, Clarence and the guy next to him, okay, you guys get up, get out of there, and give him your jersey. And nobody else move. Please do not move. And I will Photoshop him. And another, there was one guy missing. That's why I had two guys get up. And basically, so give him the shirt, and you go stand in the photo. And then, but except for the guy next to him on the bench, moved. And so the Photoshop would not work. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One guy, you know, he ended up being covered. So one guy mm-hmm. was missing a leg. It just didn't work out. And I thought, you could have just not moved. Like I said, if you'd listened to me and not moved, I wouldn't have to spend time in Photoshop. But here we are. Anyway, so the solution became basically cut him out of one of the photos and put him up on the back row where there is no bench. The bench ends.
But that's the part that I didn't notice when I looked, but once you said it, I thought to myself, I think he's standing where there's no possible bench.
Yeah. In theory, I mean,
it's just compared to looking at the other end of it, it looks like there's no way, based on where the guy sort of in front of him is standing, that there still could be a bench, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, there's not.
Okay.
Although
okay,
you don't see the other bench, though.
No, but it sort of does end at a natural point.
Yeah.
Right below the last guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I would have much preferred had he just brought his jersey. So he ran some laps of practice last night to pay for it, but would have been better had he just brought the uniform. would have been better for me. But also, like, it works out this way because it kind of balances out mostly. But being in the team photo and taking the team photo is no fun. Don't do it.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling you.
That's the takeaway.
But while we're there, we did individual photos too. So I posted I posted two individual photos, one from 34 years ago and then one from this week, just to show the still wearing number 8. That's all. But just to show I did butterfly lighting outside, which doesn't come up very often.
Okay.
Does it?
Not really, but just explain how you did it.
Not really butterfly lighting because it was on a 45. So like butterfly lighting, you typically figure it, there'd be a umbrella above and an umbrella below the lens and you kind of shoot through, right?
Yeah.
This is a little bit off to the side and at a 45. So I have one umbrella camera left and up, like just out of frame and just up, and then one umbrella camera right and just down a little bit to bounce the light up under the hat.
Okay, but you're in the shade here, right?
I'm in the shade. So this is a situation with individual shots, I can go find some open shade. So there's a spot on our field where later in the evening, there's a big tree casts a shadow across center field.
Okay.
So we all hustled out to center field. I got set up there with a couple of strobes, and used the sunlit background is still there, but we're in the shade, as you can see by the bottom of the screen.
Right. That's what I was wondering, is that you just didn't want to blow out the background. That's why you elected to light this.
Plus you just get much nicer lighting. I mean, you're right. In the shade itself, right? I see what you're saying. In the shade itself, had I not lit this, the background would have just been white.
Okay, it was that bright.
Yeah, way too harsh. Okay, and so I said, no, we're going to light this. And the kicker here is, I don't know if you do this or not. If you ever have to light something, well, you have a different setup a little bit, but I brought the stands for my white background with me to use actually as light stands, because in a slight breeze with those umbrellas out, they are strong enough to not tip over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're more steady,
way better to use. And so I didn't even have to sandbag them. It wasn't that windy, but there was a breeze, and normally they would have tipped over. But anyway, so I just ran everybody through, and so that's team photo day. A little different than it was back in 83.
Sure.
Yeah. So. All right.
Okay.
And last thing interesting, all baseball related, I did shoot some studio shots of our new t-shirts, and so I just posted one of the pics of one of the girls on the softball team posing with the gray shirt.
Okay, I see it.
Pretty standard white background setup. But she had a nice smile, so I thought, hey, let's post that one.
Sure.
All righty. Monthly photo challenge for May, just a reminder, is going to be lens flare. We had a couple people, what do we tell us that, someone was posting from a private account unknowingly, so we never saw their photos.
There's probably thousands of those.
This is probably, I was going to say millions, but that's probably too high. Yeah. So he's in the game. That's it. No, somebody, I got an email. Who was it? Was it Joe? Maybe. Basically saying that he didn't think he was getting enough light from his window, so he just couldn't do it.
And you had a response, I'm sure.
What's your response to that?
There's always enough light from your window.
There's always enough light. There's always room for Jell-O.
Yeah, no, I can't think of any. Yeah, a little too soon. I can't think of any situation, even an overcast day, where you couldn't get enough window light. I mean, I do this all the time with very little. I mean, as long as it's not midnight. If there's light outside, albeit overcast, there's enough light to get a good window light photo.
Yes. And what would what would you say the key would be to that, to making sure there is enough when there's when there's very little aperture? The answer is aperture. I'm looking for.
I was going to say bring them close to the window.
Well, there's that too. Proximity is the thing, because you'll find a lot more light there. But also having a prime lens that you can open up is the game changer here.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So 5.6 is not your friend. No. You're looking at f/2. Then you're laughing, and then you're everyone. Why is he laughing? Oh, f/2.
Yeah, f/2 is awesome.
Yeah. All right. Photo challenge for this week, though. You issued it, so let's hear from you.
Okay, it was the studio silhouette, just based on the happy accident that I had occur a few weeks ago when I was taking the picture of Jack doing holding his bat and kind of a posed baseball shot, and then I. You know, I was just doing the test shot and checking the background light, and then I got a cool silhouette, and I thought, hey, here's something I've never done before. So I inspired the latest photo challenge.
That you did. Now, what is it that you like about this technique?
It's pretty easy, and I mean, this you can, you know, do whatever you like. Like, there's really... You can be creative, and I really had something in mind. I was pretty sure you were going to do something baseball, so I thought I'd go away from baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do something of Sarah and dancing, and she has been too busy. There's been lots of dance competitions, so there wasn't really an opportunity to do what I wanted to do with her. So I basically decided, all right, I'm on my own for this one. And so I thought, what would be an interesting silhouette? And I immediately thought, oh, okay, I've got to do something with a camera. And the camera's got its own recognizable silhouette. And then I thought, okay, it's sort of a throwback to, you know, what we used to do as kids in school, where you'd put up the overhead projector and then you'd stand next to the wall and then you'd project it and draw it on the... You draw the face with the person standing beside the light. Like, did you guys do that in school?
No.
You'd bring it home and you'd have the black outline of your silhouette, and it was an art project. Everyone must have done that.
We did math.
That's why you're better than me.
And that's for useful stuff. How many times a day now do you go and do that? Do you go and draw someone's head in the shadows?
Oh, I'm sure they still do it.
No,
I'm
you.
Sure oh, me?
What All did, the what time. Did it prepare you for?
It prepared me for this photo challenge. So I...
Well done, Mrs. Anderson.
It's funny is when I was doing this, I mean, doing it, and well, you did a picture of yourself as well. I probably had to do 20 shots to get something that wasn't even what I wanted in the first place. Like, I found this very difficult, like, to set it up, try to think about where the arm position, where all the, like, where it was going to make sense and not make sense, make sure I was in front of the light stands, because I didn't want any of the lights kind of showing, like, or the stand or the flash, its profile showing. So trying to get what was a recognizable silhouette of me. And then the glasses really helped. So what I found is that, you know, the lenses, it really kind of, again, add another detail to the image. And so I was just trying to, again, when you hold your camera naturally, like, I bring my face closer to the camera, but you can't do that, or it all just melts into one thing. So I needed to have some separation. So, and then also where I naturally put my hands under the lens barrel, like, that again obscures what the image looks like. So there's a lot of fiddling around and unnatural holding and positioning to try to get an image that resembled what I intended it to resemble. And then also where I am in the frame, all this. So this is a finicky little task, but doing this of somebody else and positioning them, I think, would be much easier.
That was my experience as well. I thought, because mine was, my self-portrait was more of necessity, in that, you know, I was like, can't get anybody to help me out. And I think you understood what I meant by necessity.
Yes.
No need to elaborate.
Sure.
And so I found the exact same thing. I was like, oh no, like, this is no fun.
Yeah, it's tough.
I think I did like 10 or 20 as well, and just thought, well, okay, yeah, move this now, move that, stay in front of the light, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how did you like this? How many lights?
I used two.
Okay, two.
So I put one on top of the other, because I wanted to give myself enough of a silhouette area to make sure that like it was clean lines all the way around my positioning. So I basically gave myself two lights and just kind of put them, you know, maybe 6-8 inches apart. So I could have positioned them more, position the light more vertically instead of horizontally as far as the flashbulb goes. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of did vertical because I wanted a good spread, and I knew I was going to go sideways. So I wanted a good spread. And I was also thinking I might attempt a longer lens just to, but then I didn't like how that looked. So that was all part of, I needed enough sort of horizontal spread and vertical spread to make sure I got my whole image in. So I went with two, and it seemed to work fine. I would have probably been fine with one, just bringing it closer to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, it worked fine this way, and I pretty much had the spread of light I wanted right off the bat. So it was two lights. When I did Jack's, I just used one, and then I think I went to an F8 or F9, just knocked down all the ambient light, and then I knew with the F8. I just focused on the light stands, which are just kind of inches behind. And I think it's a 50 millimeter lens for mine. I knew that I would be in focus because I was just going to push the shutter and then kind of walk into the spot.
Mm.
So that's how I went about it.
Nice.
Was yours any different? I'm happy with the profile shot. Like, clearly I think most people who know what I look like know that this silhouette is me, know that it's a camera.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I would like some separation between the arms, but having side profile and getting separation between the arms, like it just didn't look right. Or the arm closest to the camera then appears huge. Like it's a much trickier task, I think, than you think. And when I did it with Jack, I again took no effort. It just was, and it was an accident. And the way the light went through the glove, like certain things and certain poses are much more natural than holding and shooting a camera. This was very unnatural. But tell us about yours.
Yeah, no, but here's the big win is the glasses make this shot.
Yeah, that totally.
A lot of people would say it's, you know, it's the arm hair, but no.
Sure, it's the arm
definitely,
hair.
Definitely the glasses. No, that's the big difference. It's like that, wasn't it the, what was the movie? With the kid had the glasses of the eyes or whatever. I'm going to say it was the black and white one that Robert Rodriguez did.
Sure.
Sin City.
Okay, yeah.
There was
yeah.
some sort of glowing eye thing going on. But no, that looks really good. Like, that really pops out. So you're right with the, if this was, you know, me shooting or anybody else shooting it, it would be much easier to direct, okay, move your hand here, move your hand there. And you'd probably get a little bit better result, but like you said, with a camera, good luck. Like, that's hard. That's hard to make it a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that gives you that separation that you look for. But overall, it's good. And that's just the color of the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty much exactly the same as I did. I hadn't planned on doing a baseball theme. I was going to do something else. But again, out of necessity, it was like, all right, it's going to be a self-portrait. And then, you know, what do you want to do? I wanted to do something that was instantly recognizable in silhouette. That's the challenge, mm-hmm. right? Like, you can't show all the details of your image.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, yeah, here's Alan, you know, playing cards. He's got pocket aces. Can't do it. Right. So you need something visually that's going to strike. And so I did pretty much the same as you, with 50 mil lens, stopped down to probably around F16 though, and I just fired the flash on full power. I'm not sure why. I probably shouldn't have. I probably should have gone the other way since I had a dark room and just blurred that background. But I kind of wanted to try everything crisp because I don't normally.
Mm-hmm.
Probably F4 would have been better and less flash power, and then just kind of blur that background. And then I basically chose, here's baseball. Not really my swing, not my hand position, not my elbow position. When I actually swing.
No, but you wanted to get the separation. You're right. This might be unnatural to you, but it probably looked better than what would have been the natural position.
It did. I mean, I wanted to see both hands, but I didn't. My left hand, which is my top hand, it disappears into my arm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I guess you can see my thumb, you know, sticking out the little bump there.
Yeah.
So, you know, but with my hands lower, it just, it didn't, there's so many different things. Like, like you being there to direct me and tell me this, 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 and this, and me to argue and saying that's not how we swing would have been great podcast, but would have been better. But overall, this is actually a kind of a cool technique that I'm going to play with.
Yeah, I think it, the results for both of them, they'll look cool, and I like the way it falls off by just, you know, really creating the, you know, sort of the gradient with the wall and just flaring the light, and then yeah, with the silhouette. Like I think there's definitely good images to be had, and with those that are potentially, you know, creative and willing to spend the time.
Well, ironically, when you say the time, that was my big takeaway, was that this is wildly simple.
It is.
If it's not you in the picture.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so time wise. You set up, you know, once you figure out where to put that flash, you can do this over and over. Like, you get a white wall, okay, great, put a gel on, you know.
Yeah, and I think, like, as far as, for me, I envision this as, like, sort of a jumping child in profile or something. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be a super cool photo. Or maybe not super cool, but good, cool for me to put on the wall of, Sarah's got long hair, and when she jumps and throws her head back, like, the hair is very recognizable and sort of part of her personality. And again, if I could get her one jumping and doing some kind of dance move, that would be a cool, that's what I had in mind. It's just, it wasn't in the cards. If I ever capture it, I will share it.
Done. All right. So I guess that in summary, I win. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
This week's topic is sensor dust.
Oh, no.
Whee! I know. Buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be a party. Yeah. But I was thinking about this because you bought the little air blower thing.
Yeah.
And I thought back to in the day. Like early in when DSLRs were first on the market, many years ago, you remember that?
Sure.
Yeah, like really long before I even got one, long before you got one. But they were my friend, you know, a couple of my friends bought them. They were expensive, but yeah, they wanted, you know, and but one of my big, I would say I was hesitant to buy one, was sensor dust. Was both sensor dust and dead pixels.
Okay.
I wasn't like a, I mean, I guess I was kind of a, probably was a film snob in the early days because, you know, digital wasn't fantastic and I really liked film. But the good news, well, if you're shooting with 35mm film, if you get some sensor dust, well, don't worry, you're changing that sensor every image. Just by winding, you know, for the most part. I mean, you might get a hair in the gate kind of thing, like with a movie film, but generally, if you have dust in your camera, it'll move on down the road and ruin one picture instead of all of them. Whereas with the digital SLRs, dust is a problem, you know, and it's still an issue to this day. Even though the technology's changed a lot, come a long way, sensor dust is no reason to not buy a DSLR at all,
right?
Anymore. So, the obvious question, what is sensor dust? It's right there in the title.
Dust that gets on your sensor.
Blam, we're going to break down the tough questions today. Yeah, basically what happens is you get, you know, little bits of fluff and dust and whatever get inside your camera. It happens. It happens to everybody. You try to avoid it, of course, but it gets in there and sticks to the sensor and kind of, you know, affects your image. Now, how do you spot this? Besides opening up your camera and staring into it, which I'm recommending you don't do, how do you know if you have sensor dust? What does it appear like just on one of your images without doing a test for it?
Usually on a low aperture photo. So if you're shooting, let's say f/12, f/16, usually little black dots.
Yeah, you get little smudges, little things that show up that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, and if you're shooting, like, for example, where I think it's most noticeable is if you shoot something that's got a, like, a flat color, like a really clear blue sky, mm-hmm. and you see the black dots there, or if you shoot, I mean, there's ways you can, you know, test for it and shoot like a gray card or a white wall or something. Like if you have a perfectly smooth.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about how to check for sensor dust.
Okay, but yeah, it shows up as far as, you know, if you Google sensor dust images, you'll see it usually as little black dots.
Yeah, just look at your own and go, oh wow, that's sensor dust. So it, generally, if you're shooting wider, you know, wide open, if you're in the you know f/2, f/2.8, even in an f/4, depending on the situation, you're probably not going to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, you know, go ahead, just put your head in the sand and keep shooting, I guess. Now, but you're probably going to get sand in your camera now too. So that's a twofer. Don't do it. Don't do it. So how do we test for it? Now, there's a really simple way. You don't have to have a gray card or find a white wall. You just kind of want to find a blue sky is your best friend in this situation.
Okay.
So what you're going to do is take your camera out, dial in the aperture, basically stop it down as far as it'll go. Okay. So F16 and beyond. And then properly expose for the sky, or underexpose a little bit if you want, but basically you don't want to blow out the sky, because then it's going to be, you're not going to get what you want. Dial it in, shoot the blue sky, and then just look on the back of your camera on the LCD screen. You're going to see all the sensor dust, and it's going to blow your mind probably. If you've never done it and all of a sudden this is the first time, you're probably going to be unpleasantly surprised at how much sensor dust your camera has picked up.
Okay.
Don't panic. Don't throw it in the garbage. We'll deal with it. First off, how do we avoid it? Well, no, wait. How do we minimize it? Like actually getting it. I don't know. And forget the fact that, forget sensor dust for a second. We get the new camera out of the box before we even get sensor dust. How do we minimize getting sensor dust?
Try not to change lenses in a dusty or dirty, or a dusty and dirty environment in your garage or in your wood shop or wherever you do dirty things.
When there's particulate flying around in any situation, yeah, very dusty, and so just don't do it. It gets it. That's job number one. I mean, it gets in there. Dust is still going to find its way in. It will, but let's slow that down. Don't leave the lens off your camera.
Yes.
Your camera either came with a kit lens and or one of those like lens caps, but for the body, so like a body cap. Don't know if that's the name. Don't care.
Yeah, it's the name. Body cap. Yep.
Okay. I was going to invent a clothing line called that.
Okay.
Like body glove.
Yeah, body cap.
Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah, it was big.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Lululemon bought them. That's what I hear. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Maybe.
So yeah, don't leave your lens off the camera. That's you're inviting trouble. Okay. So basically, you know, if you just do simple math, like we talked about earlier, while you were drawing silhouettes at school, I was doing the math.
Right.
The less your camera is exposed to the elements, the less dust you will get.
Okay.
Okay. That's called the dust algorithm.
Okay.
Yeah. The constant is just constantly keep your body cap on. That's what it is.
Sure.
So that's the plan. So when you see pictures, that's why when you're looking for used stuff and you see someone on Craigslist or whatever, and someone's shooting their camera with no lens, no body cap on, just on the shag carpet for sale. One horribly mistreated camera.
Yeah, that's please why it, buy me.
Yeah, that's why it bugs us. So, like for
save
me,
the tax.
Yeah, no tax. However, like if you look in the camera, there's probably a bunch of tax and nails and stuff just kicking around. Because that's an indicator when you go to buy something that or just, you know, if your friend is doing it. It's an indicator that they don't know what they're doing or they don't care.
Right.
Because that's how you get sensor dust. Store your camera in dust-free environments. Put it in a camera bag, for one thing, you know. Like, where do you have your cameras at home? Are they just sitting around?
No, they're in their bags.
In a bag. I have a couple in a drawer.
Mine are on a shelf. The camera shelf.
Yeah, in the wood shop.
Yeah.
Sawdust everywhere.
Yeah.
What is now okay? Now, but sometimes you do have to take the lens off the camera if you're changing lenses. What's the move?
Do it quickly.
Do it quickly is one. How do you do it quickly? Like, what did you have? Do you have a set maneuver to minimize? Because what about getting dust on the rear element of the lens you're going to put on?
That's I don't like that either. So I have I have a quick switch move.
What's your method?
Well, I get the rear cap sort of just gently untwisted so that when I take the camera off the body in a clean environment, it goes right down onto the clean table with the back up, and I quickly change the back lens cap from the one that's ready to go onto that one in like one swift move, and then the next lens up to the camera. So that takes me all of a half second, but I make sure that it's already loosened and ready. So I just swap it from one to the other, and then the new lens goes on. Is that what you do?
I can't remember if that was we had a talk about that. I'm assuming you just figured it out on your own.
I don't know. We might have had a talk like years ago about just doing it quickly, and same thing, making sure to kind of protect the back lens as well at the same time. So important, I do them both.
Important thing to point out is that I would suggest keeping your camera pointed down when you change lens. Due to this thing called gravity.
Yep.
9.8 meters per second per second.
Sure.
Not necessary, but I thought we're doing the math today.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're having it pointed down, you're less likely. You're slightly minimizing your chance of getting dust falling into your camera.
Right.
Again, it can still kind of blow up, but, you know, we're talking about risk minimization here. So point your camera down. I do the exact same move that Adam does. I place the lens that I'm going to put on you know, with the back end up on the table.
Yeah.
Pop the rear element cap.
Yeah.
So it's still on there but loose. Pop the lens off my camera, put it down, switch the cap over. Don't tighten it. Just put it on there to cover.
Yeah, just cover it.
Quickly mount the new lens and then tighten the rear element. Now that really cuts down the exposure time drastically. And so that now you're off the races in terms of minimizing how much dust you're going to get. Now, it's always you'll find yourself in positions where you can't do that, where you are at the beach or you are somewhere. It's just do your best, man.
Yeah.
You know, look around, figure out what you can do to minimize this. Now,
That's the move, though, and I mean, we've probably talked about this in the past. When I go to the beach, I go specifically, if I'm going to do it for my own family, I'm only putting one lens in the bag, and I'm not going to change it at the beach. If I'm going and doing it for somebody else where I might be paid, then I'll take two cameras, one with each lens that I plan on using, and I'm still not changing lenses at the beach.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever changed lenses at the beach.
Yeah, it's just that sort of gives me the heebie-jeebies.
That is probably the worst case scenario. Well, there's probably worse things, but in general, like the one that affects the most people would be. And guess what? You're still going to get stuff in your camera if you go to the beach. That's why I generally take my beater to the beach.
Yeah.
Just when we say it like this, it's like we spend an inordinate amount of time photographing at the beach.
And that's not true, but at least a couple times a year anyway.
Yes, it is the best case example. It's the best example for dusty situations. All right, so now we've minimized it, but we still have it. Mm-hmm. How do we get rid of it?
There's lots of ways if you look on the internet.
All right, enjoy it. Go Google it.
Go Google it. No, I.
Well, first off, I mean,
I went with the common method is the blower.
Before that, though. I mean,
the little thing built in on your camera, like the little sensor dust cleaner,
the little vibrator thing,
the shaker.
At some point, and I think
the 5D doesn't have it though.
No, I think the 5D Mark II was. I don't know if it was one of the first cameras or it was the first, but it was the first one I had because that is a lie. I am lying to you now. I have the 40D. Before that, and the 40D has that feature.
Mm.
So what it is I guess the camera manufacturers, you know, recognize that, hey, dust is a problem. What are you going to do? So they installed this little vibrating what have you. A doohickey, I think, is the technical term.
Sure.
The grapple grommet. So they install this so that you can basically, every time you can set it so that every time your camera turns on or off, it vibrates and just kind of knocks the dust off the sensor. Mm-hmm. And it does a okay job.
In the case of the 6D, it does a fantastic job.
Is it even better? Because the 4D does fine.
Yeah.
5D does pretty good. It's not gonna solve all your problems, but it does a pretty good job. Now you can go in there and in your camera menu and do it, you know, without having to turn it on or off. You can say, hey, do it now, and do it a couple times if you need to. If you really got some stubborn dust you want to get off, it'll usually sort you out. But you're right, it didn't exist in the 5D, and not only that. Even if it's in the 6D and whatever cameras that does have it, that dust does remain in your camera until later.
Yeah.
So it's going to show up again. So it's a good temp fix, but in the end, you kind of want to get rid of it. So the Canon 5D Classic does not have that. Now what do we do?
Well, one option, the one that I explored, was I got one of the air blowers, the Rocket Air, the Giottos. I think that's the most common, or maybe they're first to the dance, but the most popular air blower is the Rocket Air blower when I did my research by Giottos. Mm-hmm. I think I'm saying the name right. Is that the one you wound up with? We never talked about what to get or anything, but I think that's where most people end up just because every camera store seems to have it.
Very popular.
So, yeah. So are you going to describe how one goes about doing this?
Well, first of all, the one thing, I don't know if this seemed like a cool feature with the air rocket blowers, whatever it's called, is that when you squeeze it, it sucks the air in the back and then blows it out the front. Sorry, when you squeeze it, the air comes out the front, and when you let it go, it sucks the new air in the back. Which means you're not just sucking in the dust and blowing it back out. Like all the dust that you're dislodging isn't being sucked right back into your blower.
Right.
It's sucking new dust in the back. Yeah. So it's more like a dust recycling program as you're looking at.
Sure.
But also it's not compressed air. Like and so, you know, back in the day, it was a lot of people would tell you, oh, yeah, you want to find, you know, yeah, use compressed air and blow out. But you don't want that. Because, you know, there might be liquid in there. Like, oftentimes, do you ever use compressed air?
No.
No? When next time you go golfing and you clean your spikes off, you use compressed air.
Yeah, that's the only situation I can think of.
But see, when you think, imagine this, is like when you take, basically what that does is that big tank is a motor that basically just pushes a bunch of air into that tank and holds it at a much higher pressure. Well, there's moisture in the air. So you end up with condensation in the tank, which then drips out. Now, you don't want to blow that condensation into your camera.
Right.
Do you, Adam?
No.
So that's why we go with this blower. So it's not, since it's not compressed air is going to be no good. Or it could be too cold and crack your mirror. Those are some of the different little air blower things that you can get. Don't do it. Okay?
Okay.
Yep. So here's the move. Here's how, and it does work great. You got to go into your menu in the camera and select whatever it's called, clean sensor probably, or sensor cleaning, depending on if you're shooting Nikon.
Yep.
And what that does is that, first of all, it'll tell you, hey, make sure you have enough battery power to finish this. It won't tell you that, but you should.
Yeah.
Because what it does is you're gonna take your lens off. Hit the clean sensor, and that's going to flip up the mirror and open up the shutter, exposing your sensor to the world and more dust. So what you're going to then do is take the rocket blower and just hammer that as much as you can to get rid of all the dust in there.
And you're going to point your camera which direction?
I point my camera down.
Yeah, of course, for the same reason you said earlier, which is gravity. Yeah,
blow that dust, let it fall. and get it out of there. I mean, generally, if you're pointing it up to the sky, you're probably just going to get a lot more of that dust coming in.
Yeah.
So,
and the stuff you're blowing is got nowhere to go. So at least if you're blowing it up and then gravity, potentially, hopefully, the dust is going to then fall out of your camera.
That's the plan.
That's the plan.
And it does the trick. I mean, this, like, I was surprised because I thought, oh, like am I going to have to, like, get a, you know, swab out and, like, you know, take it to the car wash? Like, what am I going to have to do here? Like, this is, no. I find with the 5D, which seems to be the most egregious of my three cameras in terms of how much dust it collects.
Yeah.
This, the blower does the trick, like, 99% of the time.
Yeah, it worked perfect for me. There was a fair amount on the 5D when I first checked it, and it again, I one go, which took me maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 blows in there, and mm-hmm. then rechecked, and it was clean.
Yep. Do you do it often, or do you just...
That was the first time I'd ever done it.
Really?
Yeah, and the 6D did not have any dust. That's what I'm saying, is that I've changed that lenses on that camera, and I've had that camera for a few years. I was amazed to not be able to find any in my test shots.
Nice.
Yeah, so I still did it. I was like, I bought this thing, I'm blowing air in here. But I could not find any difference between the test images and the redos after the cleaning. So
what about a wet clean?
So you mean like with a swab?
With swab, there's a bunch of others. There's another thing, another product that you can get that you can basically squirt on your sensor, then it then solidifies and you peel it off.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I've never had to do it, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's and it's not one of those things. I'm not concerned about ruining the sensor. I'm more my concern more is about I would not get all the cleaner off the sensor.
Mm.
And then you're going to get these horrible smudges, and that's just, you're asking for trouble. Just a massive pain in the ass, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I would rather just Photoshop everything out later. No, I don't want to do any of that. But I mean, yeah, you could, you know, you'd probably then have to take it in for a professional cleaning, which isn't going to be zero.
Right.
So I cannot suggest, you know, any solution for that. I don't do it. I've never had to do it, simply by taking care of where I use my camera and change lenses and whatnot and how I store it. I've been able to avoid that for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my recommendation.
Okay, I agree. And I'm learned in your technique as far as the lens changing. And like I say, the 6D with fancy vibration sensor technology mixed with good changing tactics has equaled, you know, no sensor dust for that period of time. So it works.
Now, side challenge.
Okay.
Will you make a video of you changing the lens properly?
Ooh.
And I will do one, and we will see who makes the best one.
I will do mine 45 times until I do it in under 3.5 seconds.
And then solve the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to think that I'm going to do this. You can't give me a timeline. I'll do it sometimes between now and 6 years from now.
True. Okay, fair enough. Next time you clean your sensor.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, I'll see. I'll see if I can put together a video. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's not a priority.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of other things in my life.
Okay.
Okay, photo challenge for next week. And remember, the monthly photo challenge is lens flare.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm exhausted for thinking of the photo challenge idea last week.
So a year off.
I hope you're pulling your weight here and you've got an idea.
Yeah, finally, my turn. Let's go with stop the action.
Okay.
I think we can try that. We can, yeah.
Sure.
Enough said. Okay. Websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And the Instagram, of course.
And Instagram, Adam2Hosers on Instagram.
Where you can tune in to see zero tall ship pictures.
Yeah, there will be none.
Not a one. Not even a nice giant with sailboat in the setting sun. Don't bother. Don't waste your time.
No, there's zero. Yeah. How about your stuff?
You can find my sailboat pictures at alanattridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links, photos, and everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.